I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't wanna do. Sit in the cubicle miserable as I slave away. Getting complacent with life as my dreams fade away. Nah, motivation to go harder. I'd rather spit that real.
Good morning, good evening, good night, folks. This is your Five Tool Sports Podcast host, Woody Massey, and I'm here with all the tools today. We got the coach, Brandon Lundberg.
Hey, what's up? I feel like we just did a show.
Oh, blow the whistle. Foul on the play. Wow. Then class is in session, guys, because we got the substitute, CSPM McLaughlin.
Class in session. Schooling cats, you feel me?
Schooling cats, whether it's on the book or in the books, the substitute knows all. All right, guys, let's go jump right into it. We got a little bit of news to cover up here at the top. Obviously, we have to touch on the horrific incident with young star first round pick Henry Ruggs from the Las Vegas Raiders, who we mentioned during the show on Tuesday was in a car accident. And as more information has been released, Henry Ruggs was going 156 miles an hour, double the over legal limit of his alcohol blood level. And he crashed his car, resulting in a fatality of a young woman in the other car. And he has been released from the Las Vegas Raiders. And he is looking like he's going to get a charge of DUI, resulting in a death. I am not a lawyer, so I'm not sure how that really affects the sentencing or the time he'd be looking at, because it's not manslaughter, which is something that what I thought it would be. So it's probably a little less than that, but obviously it's a tragedy.
No, it's actually pretty bad, Woody. I saw something for some of the charges. Yeah, the maximum sentence for 20 years.
Oh my God.
And like the minimum sentencing was 5 years. And again, it depends on, you know, what they hit him with. But it's not looking good for Henry Ruggs, and it's unfortunate. It's more unfortunate for the young lady that died, and I mean, it's just a sad story. It sucks because Henry Ruggs seems like such a good kid who just made such a dumb mistake, you know?
Yeah. Well, let's be real here. I talked about this before the Raiders, when we first started doing the podcast, officially moved to Las Vegas. This is what the NFL was worried about. Setting up young superstars, 22 years old, in a city that is built to party 24 hours a day. There is no stop button in Vegas. So it's easy for a young man, a first-round pick, millions of dollars in the bank, yeah, a year into his NFL career. This man's driving around a Corvette at 4 o'clock in the morning, lit off his butt.
And them new Corvettes is nice, too, man.
Apparently they got great... Great bags, airbags, because everybody survived the crash. Yeah. But I'm not trying to be callous here, but this is exactly what the NFL was worried about.
I got a question, though. Hey, I think you make some great points, Woody, about being in Vegas, the nightlife, being 24 hours. I mean, so look, Dante Stallworth, He picked up a DUI manslaughter charge, I want to say, maybe about a decade ago. He actually only got 30 days in jail, and he was put on house arrest for 2 years. So maybe there is some hope. I mean, I don't know why Dante Stallworth is – Cleveland is in Vegas, but maybe that's why he was drinking. So I don't know. But
It's rough, man. Do we see Henry Ruggs back in the NFL?
Maybe if he receives – parole I don't know how that's
I think we do then I don't give second
I think he might so, get man. He might get a shot. His jail time is obviously going to be a factor.
Yeah,
if he's facing 20 years, you know, is it going to be half? I don't think he's going to get the maximum punishment. I think that they'll be lenient. He's going to have to show that he's very remorseful. And like CJ said, I believe he's a good kid. At least all reports indicate that. He's never no prior criminal record for Henry Ruggs. He wasn't known as a troublemaker or anything in that regard at Alabama. So I don't know.
I think the obvious pick here, obviously we're not going to dive too far into Ruggs and his personal life and everything, but there is something on minds here for fantasy teams because we are a sports podcast. Who becomes the Raiders' deep threat, and who receives the targets that Ruggs was seeing. I could see an increase here for Bryan Edwards as a downfield target, personally, but they did have John Brown on the roster earlier in the year for that deep threat. I could see the Raiders bringing him back now that Ruggs is out.
Watch out for Zay Jones.
Zay Jones. They do love Zay Jones over there.
Yeah.
Do you guys see anything else? Maybe a uptick in Hunter Renfro in the slot or?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, this offense has changed so much, and it's not necessarily by choice. First,
just John in the Gruden. Last couple of weeks.
Exactly. First is John Gruden, right? And now it's Henry Ruggs. So now they have to make other adjustments. So we might see a different offense. And, you know, maybe they don't have a guy to replace that deep threat ability that Ruggs had. So maybe we'll see more efficient offense. You know, like you said, maybe more targets to Hunter Renfro now. Man, it's a rough situation.
It is.
Vegas.
Vegas, baby.
Yeah. OBJ could land there. You never know.
Yep.
Well, that was my next point. The Odell Beckham Jr. He has pretty much had a falling out with the Browns to the point where I think it's gone to unfixable at this point. It's been said that he ghosted Kevin Stefanski and he was not talking to him, but still showed up for practice. That's some real relationship type punishment there. I'm not going to talk to you, but I'm going to still come to practice. Mm-hmm. this is OBJ's second burnt bridge. He burned his way out of New York.
Would you say he's burning his way out of Cleveland? I feel like you're saying that because you're a Giants fan.
He did burn his way out of New York. He did. It's flat out. He was frustrated because Eli wasn't getting the ball downfield. And he was making drops. It's the same thing that's going on here in Cleveland, honestly. Now, here's my thing that I've been picking up steam with the past few weeks. I'm out on Baker Mayfield. I don't think he's a good quarterback. We've seen him do it, but it's looked like he's honestly regressed. And I know he's unhealthy this year, but one, he's too small. Two, he's not taking the shots downfield that made him special as the number one overall draft pick.
Yeah.
And he's not, as we saw from OBJ's dad's clips, like he's not taking shots, which this offense desperately
needs. I agree with you, Woody. I don't think Baker's a good quarterback. And I've kind of been on the cusp. I've kind of been back and forth on it. But he ended last year on a high note. He played good during the second half of the season. And coming into this season, again, man, the Cleveland Browns is probably, if not the most disappointing team this season, they're definitely one of them. And part of it is because of Baker. Is it all his fault? No, it's not all his fault. But to the things you say, he's the number one pick. We saw this arm talent. Baker could make every throw. You know, he wasn't a great athlete, but he was a magician in the pocket. He was able to use his legs. And you see it at times, but you don't see it enough consistently. And look, when you're paying a guy, look, these quarterbacks getting $200 million contracts now. Like
Are you going to pay this man a quarter of your salary cap? Is he giving you production that's worth a quarter of your salary cap? Because that's the legit quarterback price tag.
And the answer to that is they won with Case Keenum a couple of weeks ago.
Offense looks better with Case Keenum simply because no less mistakes.
Yeah, I would say Baker's hit the ceiling that he was already at. But when he came into the NFL,
year one,
alluding to this, he was NFL ready. He was the most NFL ready of all those quarterbacks who came in. He came in, he proved that, and he's basically who he is. Yeah. This is what you get with Baker. If you're the Browns and you're comfortable with that and the system, and if he can get healthy and you can continue to do the things you've done well with him, that's great. Is he going to win you a Super Bowl? I don't think so. Probably not. But who else is out there? Who are you going to go get? I mean, what's your deal going to be? Are you going to try to win with Keenum? I doubt that. You could.
I mean, I could see someone coming in a trade or someone getting rid of somebody.
Nobody. I mean, who wants to live in Cleveland? Hell, I mean, it ain't
true.
Well, and also, I mean, who needs a quarterback right now, too?
Yeah,
like it's kind of concentrated with quarterbacks right now. So many have been drafted, you know, in the first two rounds, the last three, four years. No one really needs a quarterback.
Maybe a Deshaun Watson to Cleveland scenario.
I was just thinking that, but geez, who knows?
Who knows? I mean, with that roster, with that much talent that you have, they are at a point where you could offer a few first round picks.
Yeah, why not?
And it's Ohio, so he might be able to get away with that backroom massage parlor stuff he's been doing in Ohio.
If you're winning,
off the chain in Ohio.
if you're winning games, then it all goes away.
He just has to go to Urban Meyer's bar.
Oh yeah, he'll definitely be invited. For sure.
All right, let's dive right into this, dudes. Actually, before we get into the games today, we actually have class in session. Little pop quiz from the substitute. All right,
let's do it.
So I told you the blicky back full. It's all the way full. I got like 5 trivia questions. I formulated a trivia question on the debate we had yesterday about you know, division winners and championships and having home field advantage. But I don't think I want to ask that one today. You know, we've talked a lot about receivers so far through the show. So it's only right. What player has the most receiving yards by a receiver in their first 4 seasons? Mm. Most receiving yards by a receiver in their first 4 seasons. I see you using some restraint. You tried. You said Anquan Boldin. It's a good guess. Okay. Mm. Really good guess.
So I'm just going to go. I'll say Randy Moss. I don't know.
Another really good guess.
Randy was my second guess.
Most receiving yards by a wide receiver in their first 4 seasons. Really good guesses. You guys are both wrong. Mm. The answer is Michael Thomas.
That makes sense.
First 4 seasons, he played 63 out of a possible 64 regular season games. He accumulated 5,512 reception yards. Randy Moss was second with 5,396 reception yards in one more game. Torrey Holt rounded out the top 3 with 5,088 yards through his first 4 seasons through 64 games.
Okay. All right. Nice. Is Anquan up there at all?
Anquan was in the top. He's just outside the top 6. So it's Michael Thomas, Randy Moss, Torrey Holt, Jerry Rice, A.J. Green, and then Anquan Boldin.
Oh, A.J. Nice. Green, that would have been a good
one. What a fall from the top. I know, right?
Yeah. Well, he lost a step a few years into his career because he was such a running back.
He lost his mind as of last week, too, because he was trying to block on a fade route.
A.J. Green, yeah.
If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, you can get help by visiting gamblingaddictioncenter.com. Addiction is a disease, and we here at the 5-Tool Sports Podcast and Football Scout 365 want our listeners to know that everything we present on our show with regard to point spreads and betting, that is strictly for entertainment purposes only. So
everything in moderation, guys. All right, guys, let's jump right into it. We got some games to cover today. We got Atlanta Falcons, New Orleans Saints. The Saints are getting 5.5 points here against the division rival Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta to be without star receiver Calvin Ridley in this game, who is sitting out indefinitely from football due to mental health.
Yep. Mm.
You got something to say about that, C?
You know, one of my homies, he called me yesterday, and he's like, you know, do you think this generation is just soft? Do you think the generation below us is just soft? And he was like, look, I'm not trying to take anything away from mental health. I know it's a real thing. But he was like, you know, sometimes it just feels like when life gets a little hard, you know, people want to, you know, kind of press the mental health button. Like, there's a difference between stress, between something being hard, and between, you know, depression and anxiety. So, it's just kind of my thing. I mean, no disrespect towards Calvin Ridley or anyone who's dealing with mental health. I mean, we all have to take care of our mental health. Sometimes I just don't think removing yourself from the football team, I'm not sure if that's necessarily the solution. I mean, think about it.
We still don't know what's going on.
They love this game. You're 100% right. We don't know what's going on. 100% right.
That's true. That's real.
That's the thing. If it's just like some soft stuff, that sucks. Maybe people need to do that. But we still it's too early. Like, if it comes out and it's something serious, I'd regret saying anything that he needs to pull himself up by his bootstraps. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And look, I think it's a middle ground, honestly, with this generation, what you said, because mental health is important. It is. But at the same time, like, the old generation, they ignored a lot of things that haunted them later in life. Yeah, so I think it meets somewhere in the middle there. Sure. But where are you guys going with this game? Obviously, the Saints, that's a lot of points for not having starting quarterback Jameis Winston. Taysom Hill should be back for this game, it's looking like.
You never know. Trevor Siemian could still be the guy. I know everybody's talking about Taysom Hill, you know, coming back. I think Siemian played pretty well in the last game, obviously. They won. You also, I mean, the Falcons, no Ridley. Gage didn't really step in and do anything. He didn't have a single catch last week, so you're wondering about that. Kyle Pitts, a lot on his shoulders now. So me personally, I'm going Saints in this one. I'm just going to take it. I feel like their defense is the difference.
Yeah, same. I mean, I'm taking the Saints to cover. However, for the listeners out there, this there's not really any bets in this that I really like, just because you got New Orleans, really good defense. But now you have some flux at quarterback. You got flux on Atlanta's offense. They have a bad defense. But you don't necessarily know if New Orleans is going to take advantage of that, because of, you know, the question marks at quarterback. Mm-hmm. So, look, if you do bet on this game, I would say bet on the Saints money line. You know, I can almost bet that the Saints are going to win it, but I wouldn't bet on anything else. But for the sake of the show, I am taking the Saints to cover 5.5.
Hey, that's a good call. Another call out real quick. There weren't a lot of player props available for the other games. I want to throw this one out because this was available. Matt Ryan at +115 with a touchdown pass. If he can throw, the over-under on the touchdown pass is 1.5 for him at +115. So with an implied point total for the Falcons around 19 points, you would imagine with the way that the Saints control the run game, they, you know, two touchdowns out of that 19 points, assuming that implied point total holds. So you can definitely see that potentially happening.
And Cordarrelle Patterson. Nope. Go get him. Go get Cordarrelle Patterson. We've been kind of a little uneasy about it all season. Look, now he has to get the volume. Like, it's no doubt about it. Oh, yeah, he's getting more.
If you can trade for him right now before your trade deadline, that's a huge call out right now. If you can find a way to go get him from another guy who won't let him go or is willing to let him go for the right price, try to get it done.
That's true. I am going with Atlanta to cover. Too much quarterback flux, and I just think the Falcons play better in a dome. Denver Broncos at Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys are getting 8 points in this one. Denver known to muck it up and get things a little bit more close, but they did lose Von Miller to the Los Angeles Rams in a trade, so that pass rush will be taking a hit in this game. Which way are you guys going with this?
Cowboys. I think the Cowboys cover. They're a much better team. I mean, that's. I don't really have a lot to add, to be honest with you. I think
you're not worried about Dak's lingering calf injury.
No. I mean, that is the question mark with this game. If Dak plays, the Cowboys cover the 8-point spread. If Dak does not play,
CeeDee Lamb also. CeeDee Lamb also reported sprained ankle this morning in practice.
Oh, snap. That's news to me. Why'd you have to do that on air?
Well, I want you to know before you make your pick. That's all.
Oh, whatever, man. Leave me alone.
It just happened. It legitimately just happened before. Like, we just got a notification. But, you know, I'm going to go Cowboys in this one. I think regardless of whether CeeDee Lamb's in there or not, Dak Prescott, get it. He's going to be out there. You know, this is a game, even at -8 against the Broncos, I feel like Dallas's defense is playing well enough to kind of harass Teddy Bridgewater. And he's been a little erratic under pressure. What I'd like to see more of is the Broncos trying to, you know, run the football more consistently to set up play action, get those receivers going. But I don't know. We'll see how they handle it offensively. I'm just going to call it out now. Cowboys are going to cover that -8.
Cowboys covering at -8. Okay, I am going to go with the Cowboys as well in this one. I think the losing of Von Miller is going to be a rough thing for that defense. So they're going to miss him more than we think, because it's taken away. He's not only the best pass rusher on that defense, but he was the heart and soul of the defense as well. So that's something to consider. New England Patriots at Carolina Panthers. The Panthers are getting 2.5 points in this one. Patriots, who have been on a tear as of late, playing great football. Sam Darnold, he's been in practice. They're prepping Walker to start if he can't. He's preparing as the starter this week. What do you think that honestly might give this offense a little jump if Walker's
back? I want to call out CMC is practicing today.
Yes, he was limited, but he is off the IR and practicing
today. Yeah, so.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Definitely makes a difference. Sammy D, is he still going through?
Okay, so I just got an alert literally on my phone. Sam Darnold concussion is at practice, but so far not working with other quarterbacks during media portion.
Okay. Okay.
Offense can't get much worse than it's been. No, I mean, they scored like their first touchdown last week in like, I think like 12 quarters or something like that.
It's bad. And look, I mean, I think it's probably you're right, Woody. I think it might be in Carolina's best interest to just throw PJ Walker out there, man.
Might as well see what you got, right?
Bill B got the juice versus Sammy D. Like, we know how that's going to go.
Oh, yeah.
See Ghost again. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wouldn't.
Yeah. I'm going Patriots.
This is an easy one. This is an easy one, I think.
Hey, look, man, Panthers could have had Mac Jones. I mean,
I think Stephon Gilmore looked really good last week for that defense.
I mean, he's a really good player.
That changes that defense if they get a shutdown corner.
Right, but Sammy D is still hot garbage.
That's true, but if we got Walker starting, maybe there's less film.
Less garbage. No, for sure.
No, I'm not even going that route.
It's Bill B, man. It's Bill B. You know what it is with Bill B.
This is true. I am a fool. A fool in love with the Carolina Panthers. So yes, I think they are going to cover this game.
All right. I got you.
All right. Minnesota Vikings at Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens are giving away 5.5 points to the Vikings this game. The Vikings coming off their worst performance of the season against the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah. I think this game will actually be a competitive game. I think it'll be close.
This is not the same Baltimore defense.
No, it's going to be Baltimore is going to cover the injuries on that defense for Minnesota. I think some people are overlooking some of that stuff.
Daniel Hunter is officially on the IR.
Yep.
And
Lamar Jackson's going to have a field day.
There you go.
He is. But you know what? I think we're a little off that Minnesota offense because we saw him play so bad last week versus Dallas. That Minnesota offense is still dangerous.
We saw what Jonathan Taylor did to this defense on Thursday night football or Monday night football. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Like, maybe this is Dalvin Cook. This is a top five running back.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe they can, you know, look at the film from the Bengals game and kind of see how to attack this defense. I think the Ravens coming off the bye, they're going to be more than prepared for this game.
John Harbaugh, not that strong off the bye.
I want to tell you this though, Minnesota, I mean, playing its first game of the season without Patrick Peterson against Cowboys receivers, combination of Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb and Cedric Wilson combined for 318 yards. So I know. Yeah. Yeah. Add that back in there too. That's another good point. So yeah, I fire up Bateman, fire up Marquise Hollywood Brown. Is there, who else we got? We can fire up the
Sammy Watkins,
Mark playing. Andrews. Yeah. Watkins Andrews. With one leg. Whatever this time, Duvernay.
All of them.
I think Minnesota's offense is being slept on here, and they're normally a team that bounces back after a bad game on offense with the inconsistency of Kirk Cousins as well. I'm taking Minnesota to cover in this one. I think Baltimore wins by a field goal.
I like that. I feel good.
Same.
Dalvin Cook. If Dalvin's good to get, if he's good in this game, I feel like he has a shot to be a difference maker to open things up for them. It could be a lot closer. It could be a high scoring game. I mean, hell, 50-point over under. I mean,
they have to be able to run the ball. They have to be able to run the ball. And we've seen some teams have success versus the Ravens running the ball this year. So overall, the Ravens have a good run defense, but we have seen in you know some games this year them give up a lot of yards. So, I mean, I'm with Woody on this one. I think Minnesota covers the spread. I think the Ravens still win, though.
Same.
Nice. All right.
Cleveland Browns and Cincinnati Bengals. Bengals are giving the Browns 2.5 this one. Bengals coming off a surprise punch in the mouth by the New York Jets in a historic game by a walk off the street, Mike White. Cleveland, a lot of bad stuff happened this week with the OBJ situation. But one thing I will point out that Cleveland has succeeded without OBJ in the past. And could this bring a boost actually to the roster, bring the team together more, circle the wagons? This is a tough one for me because I feel like the Bengals right now are playing as a better team. But you never know. Sometimes the team can get a little tighter after something messy like this, and you remove a bad apple from the bunch. There's not a lot of mold to go around.
Yeah. I mean, look, that Browns defense, it's looked better. It looked pretty good. Now, granted, that was against Pittsburgh. They didn't look so good against Arizona, but that defense played well against Minnesota. So the matchup to look at here is that pass rush coming off the edge for the Cleveland Browns versus that suspect Cincinnati Bengals offensive line. Is Joe Burrow going to have enough time to get the ball down the field, to get the ball to his weapons? With all that said, I'm taking the Bengals here.
Hey, man, I'm going. This is a Nick Chubb game 1 week after Michael Carter just had a field day. I'm going to go with the Browns just based off of that. I know, you know, what you just said is a great point. You know, if Burrow has time, that offensive line is suspect. They're suspect at run blocking. They're suspect at pass blocking. They're inconsistent. And if they're, when they are good, Burrow has enough time. He makes plays. He can get the ball downfield. And then you've got to deal with Jamar Chase. T. Higgins, he's due. Tyler Boyd had a good game last week. I'll be honest. I mean, I want to go Bengals here, but I'm going to go with the Browns in this game. I feel like they're just going to, you know, 12 personnel them to death, two, maybe even add a third tight end and just run the ball. They're
going
to find a way to run the ball.
Going with the Browns as well. Buffalo Bills at Jacksonville Jaguars. Jacksonville's getting 14 points in this game. Now, Buffalo, they started off slow last week against Miami, but they kept it moving and they ended up covering. Jaguars, obviously, James Robinson is day-to-day. They're not saying it's a serious injury, but he has been the heart and soul of their offense so far this
season. Hey, don't give Urban a reason to put Carlos Hyde out there, okay?
Exactly.
He's got more than enough reason to start him over.
Oh, man. It's I don't think the 14 points is a big enough spread, to be honest. I would bet either. That comfortably.
Yeah, same.
Like, it's Jacksonville, they've looked all over the place. And, you know, a few weeks ago, it looked like they were trending in the right spot. Maybe they found some identity. And nope, we were all wrong. Like,
and this is by far the best defense that Jacksonville has played this year. They played the Texans, the Broncos, the Cardinals, Bengals, Titans, Dolphins, and Seahawks thus far. I think this is a welcome to the NFL game for Trevor Lawrence. It's going to get ugly before it gets better.
Just tease this thing up to plus 20. I'm just kidding. Just tease it up. Give the Bills. Yeah.
No, this is a good game to tease, to throw in a team.
Yeah, I'm going Bills. Sure. They'll cover the 14 points.
All right, so we're all smashing Bills there. Houston, Texans, Miami Dolphins. Now, this is an ugly game. The Dolphins are giving 7 points to the Texans, but the Texans looked decent last week. Against the Rams. They put up some points, but
Tyrod
Taylor is coming back this week. So I think it's obvious that we smash the Texans here to cover. I don't know if they'll win the game, but I don't think Miami's good enough to beat anyone by a touchdown with a decent starting quarterback.
Man, I'm glad you guys told me that with Tyrod coming back, because that definitely makes a difference.
I think the line's going to move because I believe they just announced that 9 minutes ago. So,
okay. I mean, look, at -7, I have the Dolphins covering. Two bad defenses. You got two subpar run games. Honestly, I think there's an outside chance for this game to be a barn burner, like a lot of points. Now, the best bet that I saw for this game, personally, was it was plus 1,200 odds to be the highest scoring game this week. So, look, just bet a couple dollars.
What do you have to lose, right?
Yeah. Bet $5. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the money's there. And again, you got two bad defenses, Tyrod Taylor coming back now. So that's huge. Again, I have the Dolphins covering, but with Tyrod coming back, I might have to renege on that.
I'm taking the better quarterback getting 7 points. That's what I'm doing.
I feel that. I feel that.
Oh, man. Look, my boy Nico Collins started to show up last week.
Yeah. Where's he from?
Oh, you know, Michigan. And he's like the poor man's Mike Evans. He might actually have a decent quarterback to throw to him.
Yeah.
But I'm still going to go Dolphins. -7.
All right, Dolphins -7. Las Vegas Raiders and New York Giants. The Raiders, they've gone through one bad moment already this year. They bounced back, looked incredible. Now they are going through another one with the Henry Ruggs situations. The Giants getting 2.5 points here, and their defense has played tough the past couple weeks. So this one, it's tempting for me to go with my G-men here. They let me down whenever I believe in them, so I'm not sure.
Me personally, I mean, I don't have a lot to say here. This is a game that I wouldn't bet on. You got a team out west traveling east, and then you only have a 2.5 point spread. You don't really know what to expect. Both teams are banged up, especially New York Giants on the outside. So I think Vegas travels to New York, and I think they cover in a tight matchup, though.
Mm. Yeah, I like that. So yeah, I'm going the same route. You know,
I'm going with the Raiders too.
That's why they give us 2.5. It's gonna be like a field goal game or something.
I agree. I think it's gonna be a field goal game too. And we saw a lot of success with Darrell Williams and the young Gore. Is that Frank Gore's kid?
I think he is.
That's a good question. He does have a kid.
Maybe I'm wrong. Kids. We'll look at it. I thought he had one kid, I believe, that was in that went to the University of Miami. I can't remember if it is Derek Gore or not. So
yeah,
he transferred out maybe.
Ooh, but we saw Kansas City's run game, which hasn't been good all year, have major success against the Giants on Monday. So I'm leaning towards the Vegas is going to pound Kenyon Drake and Josh Jacobs here, and they're going to get this. So I'm going Raiders as well.
Yeah, I think they win by a lot more than what.
Plus, Daniel Jones sucks. So,
CJ, who'd you go with?
Let's see. I'm going with Vegas. I'm going with Vegas.
Okay, got it. All right. You're going with the Giants.
Los Angeles Chargers at Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles are getting 2.5 points in this one, and that's quite the slap in the face to the Chargers, I feel like. This is a very interesting spread to me. Eagles played immaculate last week against the Detroit Lions, but didn't have to do much on offense, only threw the ball 14 times, and they did pound the rock, which the Chargers were bad at. Do they take the same strategy this week and just shove it right up the middle on the Chargers?
Yeah, of course. And Philadelphia, they're coming off a game where, you know, the run game looked great. So why wouldn't you do the same thing this week? You got a team from, you know, sunny California coming all the way to Philadelphia. It's going to be cold. Run the rock.
Yeah.
This is another game that I think could also be a barn burner. Now, I'm sorry, Brandon. I want to say this real quick. There's a bet, total touchdown scored. The number is 5.5. I really like that bet. The odds are -126. So, I mean, hey, think about it. If you got a 21-21 score, that's the 6 touchdowns. So I think that's a really good bet. And then Boston Scott against this very porous run D for the Los Angeles Chargers.
Boston, no Jordan Howard?
Boston Scott plus 4,600 odds to be the Week 9 rushing leader. Bet $2 to win $92.
CJ's already done it. He's already locked and loaded.
I like that one. I really do. I really like that. I got another one for you later on in the show, too.
Beautiful.
You're like an investment strategist.
Hey. I'm going money. With the Chargers in this one. Give me the better quarterback with less than a field goal. I'm going with that. Even though they're going to be able to run the ball, I think the Chargers offense is going to snap out of it here. They've been in a weird funk the past couple weeks, and Philadelphia's a get-right defense. Yeah. That's my thought process.
Yeah. I'm going Eagles. Did I already say that?
No, I don't think he did. So there we go. All right, Green Bay Packers at Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs are getting 7.5 in this one, which you'd be surprised because the Packers, who are 7-1, but they are out without fearless leader Aaron Rodgers, who has been placed on the COVID-19 list. And we also found out that Aaron Rodgers isn't vaccinated. Man, we got a dude hosting Jeopardy that's not even believing in vaccination.
This man went to Cal Berkeley.
Oh, you going back? You going back on the Chargers? See?
No, I'm not going. Look, I gave all those incredible props, but with that said, I'm still going. All those props was designated towards the Chargers' terrible defense. I still think the Chargers' offense is like that, and
This is a Vegas trap game. They're coming. They got a team with the Eagles who didn't actually look that impressive against the Lions, even though they beat them 44-0. It was just a really bad game all around. And the Chargers, this is a get-right game for them. I feel like this classic Vegas trying to get you to take the Eagles.
All right. I got it.
But the Green Bay Packers, Kansas City Chiefs, no Aaron Rodgers. They're flying in reinforcements. Blake Bortles has landed in Green Bay. We'll be backing up the young Jordan Love.
I don't even know what to say.
I'm kind of excited to see Jordan Love against a trash defense, honestly. He's shown some flashes in the preseason.
Yeah. So did Zach Wilson, okay? And then he, you know, not even trying to say Zach Wilson is done or any of that or he's a bust. No. I'm just saying it's this season, this preseason, watching closely was what told me, like, you know what? Whatever these cats do, it really don't matter, especially at the quarterback position. Exactly. And yeah, Jordan Love did have, you know, a couple good preseason performances, but NFL defense, regardless, you got Chris Jones playing his second game. The Chiefs just traded for Melvin Ingram. I would expect him to be active this week. They're going to get after the quarterback. The over-under is way too high in this game, especially with Aaron Rodgers not playing.
I agree.
And honestly, I'm going to take the Kansas City Chiefs on here. I mean, yeah. I don't know if that Green Bay offense can score points. But like, period. Well, I mean, I know that Chiefs defense is bad, but still.
They haven't really been able to run the ball either consistently.
Adams might not be
Devontae
good
Adams
to go yet either.
Damn, did he lie too?
No, I thought that he still wasn't removed from the COVID-19 list yet. Was that announced yet?
He said he was vaccinated, but you know how that goes.
Keep an eye on that, because if he's not playing, then that opens the door for Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon again. And I think that that's going to just be, I think that's what they're going to do anyway, regardless, is you're going to see a ton of A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones in this particular game.
He's expected to return to practice today.
Okay, well, there you go. Well, that opens things up. I still expect a heavy dose of the run game in this game. Keep Mahomes off the field. And this defense for the Chiefs, they're reeling. And I feel like the Packers will find a way to keep it within the... So the point total moved when the Aaron Rodgers news was announced. It's the only one that I actually went in and updated in here based on the... Because it moved by 5 points. So it's -7.5. It was actually at -2.5 to open during the week. So
wait, -2.5?
Oh, excuse me. Sorry. It was Green Bay who was favored. So it actually moved a full touchdown. So there you go.
The other way.
That's more of a reason to kind
of. Aaron Rodgers is worth 9 points. Dang.
Yeah. So hedge towards. I'm going towards the Packers on this one.
I am. I'm going to go with the Chiefs. I don't feel great about it.
I don't blame you. I don't think anybody feels great about the Chiefs right now.
Yeah. Who are you going with, C?
I'm going with the Chiefs.
Oh, okay. Cool. 1 second, I'm putting in our pick. Arizona Cardinals at San Francisco 49ers. The Niners are getting 2.5 points in this one, and the Cardinals are limping in. They're expecting Kyler Murray to play, but he's been banged up all week. DeAndre Hopkins has not practiced this week, but we've always seen him tough it out. He'll probably be there Sunday, but how much of a DeAndre Hopkins will he be with these hamstring and rib issues? 49ers have played better as of late. They're running tough. The Arizona Cardinals defense is limping. They're also missing A.J. Green, who's been nice for this offense this week.
I would have made him inactive anyway after last week. Coach's decision.
Let's keep the controller disconnected.
The Cardinals are looking pretty rough heading into this game. Just getting or having Kyler Murray, I think he's even in trouble. If you don't have a healthy DeAndre Hopkins or no DeAndre Hopkins at all, for example, and then you don't even have AJ Green out there, you're counting on Kirk, Andy Isabella, and Rondale Moore out there. It's going to be interesting to see how they look, you know? I mean, it changes a lot of things.
And so, on top of that, Brandon, they're also missing their starting center, Rodney Hudson.
Yeah, so, that's it.
Oh, that's very big. That is very big.
If Murray's not healthy and he can't move around and do the things he wants to do and they're trying to protect him,
look out, man. This is the upset game of the week right here. Everything is just kind of like foreshadowing that. I think the 49ers pull out a W here, man. You know, as y'all just pointed to, and as we've talked about, like last week, Green Bay was able to run the ball on Arizona. We've said it all year. Hey, you can run the ball on Arizona. Matt LaFleur last week, even against Arizona, I didn't feel like he ran it as much as he should have. I still felt like Aaron Rodgers dropped back and threw the ball too much. But Kyle Shanahan is different. One, because he doesn't have Aaron Rodgers. He has Jimmy G instead. So I think Kyle Shanahan will run it down Arizona's throat. And my prop bet for this game, Elijah Mitchell plus 1,300 odds. I think he's another worthy candidate to have the most rushing yards in week 9. So
fire it up. As long as he's healthy.
Debo Samuel has yet to practice this week.
Oh, even more reason to fire up Elijah Mitchell on that.
Brandon, I can't fill that role though, and this may be the game we've been waiting for Brandon Ayuk to this season if Debo's out.
He's been quiet all year. I think his best week was last week though. I think he had a decent week last week, but other than that, he's been pretty non-existent. Correct. This 49ers team has been disappointing.
I'm going with the upset here as well. I think San Fran will cover in this one. The Cardinals are just too beat up.
Nice. I like it. All
right. Sunday night football, Tennessee Titans at Los Angeles Rams. Rams are getting 6.5 points. And guys, let me tell you, I don't think it's enough. I really think that people are underestimating what Derrick Henry does for that offense.
Yeah,
Ryan Tannehill is a play-action quarterback. It is the
what you mean. Adrian Peterson's not going to come in there and change it.
He might be fine. He might be average 4 yards of carry, but it's still hammy. Those safeties aren't cheating up on Adrian Peterson. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't. Yeah, I mean, not at this point in his career. Not.
I think just on turnovers, the fact that there's no fear of Derrick Henry, the play-action will be useless in this game. I see a blowout.
Yeah,
I don't think Tennessee has a chance, to be honest. Without Derrick Henry, if Ryan Tannehill, if he can't really, you know, if Tennessee can't run the ball and they can't use that play action to get those deep shots to A.J. Brown and Julio and the weapons on the outside, then it's over and done with. And if the Rams can get off to a big enough lead early, then guess what? You take Tennessee out of their offense altogether. So I'm right there with you, Woody. 6.5 points to me isn't enough. Although if it was any more than 6.5 points, I probably wouldn't bet it. But I'll comfortably say I think the Rams will beat Tennessee by at least a touchdown. A bet I love in this game is Cooper Kupp. He has minus 180 odds to record over 100 yards receiving this week. And I think in 8 out of the 9 games this year, he has recorded over 100 yards. So,
Yeah,
that's incredible.
I actually I'll take that back. He has recorded over 100 yards in, let's see, in 5 out of the 8 games. In 2 of those times when he did not record 100 yards, he had 92 and 96 respectively. So, I mean, I like Cooper Kupp to go for over 100 yards versus his bad Tennessee secondary.
Yeah.
All right. Chicago Bears at Pittsburgh Steelers. The Bears are getting 6.5 points in this one.
Yeah,
and they showed their first sign of life last week.
Quick update: David Montgomery is practicing. He will return. He will return from the IR window and practice today.
Okay. So, I mean, fantasy wise, let's talk about David Montgomery for a second. Khalil Herbert's legit. I think he's shown that already.
Mm-hmm.
Montgomery coming back from injury. Do we see him get the same workload?
I think they'll ease him back in. I think it's insurance for Chicago. I think it gives them the ability to ease him back in. But once Montgomery is at full strength, I think it'll be like a 70-30 split.
Yeah, I think so too.
I agree. I think it might be more 60-40. They really like Herbert in Chicago.
It might be, but I just like to, you know, err on the side of caution. Just because David Montgomery, I mean, he's more proven right now, right? But you may 100% be right, Woody. He might be close to a 60-40 split, but you got to always err on the side of caution, in my opinion.
Justin Fields, we're talking about Matt Nagy here, too.
This is true. Justin Fields showed us his first highlight reel run of his career last year. It was an amazing scramble for a touchdown run. Do we see Justin have some success against a tough Pittsburgh defense?
I got a great segue for you. You just told us about the great play Justin Fields had last week. It was more than a 30-yard run. Well, there's minus 125 odds for Justin Fields to rush for over 30 yards. I'll take it. The Pittsburgh pass rush is legit. Obviously, he's going to be running for his life with T.J. Watt coming off the edge.
T.J. Watt just takes such great angles. It's hard to run around him.
Yeah, but, you know, Justin Fields is he's not Lamar Jackson, but he's, like, in that tier below Lamar Jackson as far as athletic ability. So I think he goes for over 30 yards. It'd be a shame for him not to even use his legs at all. But Matt Nagy is back this week, so you never know.
Hey, this defense gets too aggressive. They lose contain at any point. Like you said, Woody, though, like, Watt takes good angles, plays the edge well. If they get get upfield too quick on a pass rush, that's where his opportunity is. It doesn't necessarily have to be designed runs. It'll be when he takes off against man coverage, he recognizes it, and the edge rushers get too far upfield. That's where Justin Fields can make his he can hit that 30 yards. That's for sure. I feel like that's a good one to look at and to target. So 6.5 points. I'm going Steelers, so I'll just go ahead and throw it out there now.
Okay. I'm going Bears to cover, only because I think it's going to be a low scoring. It's going to be an ugly game, kind of like what we saw last week when Pittsburgh and Cleveland played. And Pittsburgh, they've been winning a lot of their games just the ugly way. You know, it's not pretty. And I think it'll be a similar game. The Bears' defense hasn't looked great this year, but they're not going against a great quarterback this week. So I expect it, you know, to be a dirty game. I expect for Chicago to muck it up.
I think it's going to be a dirty game too, but see, here's why I'm going to go with the Steelers to cover. This is where pedigree takes over, and Justin Fields, so I've seen this season, I've seen it a few times, doesn't protect the ball well when he's in the pocket. And who is the best at causing fumbles in the league on strip sacks? That is T.J. Watt. He's the most technically sound pass rusher we have seen in many years.
Yeah, I could see him getting at least one.
I just see the Pittsburgh being in great field position here, and they're going to get I think this is like a 10-point win, like a 24-10 all over it. So I'm going to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers to cover here.
I actually like that score. I mean, I could definitely see that.
Brandon, who are you going with? You're going with Pitt. That's right. You said it.
Yeah, all right. Steelers win this thing 18-6. I'm just kidding.
Before we close out the show, Woody, obviously I couldn't make the Thursday night football preview with you guys, but a couple of bets that I like was Michael Carter, minus 108 odds for 4.5 catches. Take the over. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I like that.
Ooh, yeah, that's really good.
Mike White, out of his 45 pass attempts last week, he actually targeted running backs 20 times. So Michael Carter got 14 of them, and then Ty Johnson got the other 6. So yep. He likes throwing it to his running backs. I love that bet. And then another bet that I love for tonight, Carson Wentz, minus 113 for the over 9.5 rushing yards. Carson Wentz is a good athlete. I like that one. And then this is for the week, but the last one was minus 180 odds for any game this week to go into overtime.
We've had an overtime game, I believe, every week this season.
Every week except for one. But then we've had weeks where we've had 2 or 3 overtime games. So on average, it's been at least one overtime game every week. So definitely take that bet as well.
Yes, those are really good, man. And on the Thursday night preview we just did, you know, I called out the Michael Carter plus 160 to score a touchdown on DraftKings Sportsbook.
Hell yeah.
Which they have leaned on him near the goal line. So
yeah, so huge.
All right, guys. Well, that is going to wrap up our Friday preview show for the weekend. We went over all the bets, gave you our picks. We're making money out here. We're picking above the 60% on all the games against the spread. That is tough. It's hard enough to just pick a few games and go over 60%. So we're giving you some gems here, some great prop bets. As always, check out footballscout365.com. Check out our new show on the feed, the NBA show with me and Coach Melvin Taylor. Going over, we did the Eastern Conference preview. The first one ran a little long. We're getting used to it. Second one will probably be, instead of 2 hours, like an hour and a half. But after that, because we're doing the conference previews, they'll be like 45-minute episodes, and they'll be coming at you at least once a week. And as always, check us out at the number 5toolsportspodcast.com. And I think we need some music. We out.
Oh.
Miami Heat win it all.
I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't want to do. Sit in the cube.